Russia's upper house of parliament votes unanimously in favor of giving President Vladimir Putin authority to deploy troops to Ukraine's two breakaway regions. The EU says it's seeking to impose sanctions on banks financing Russian operations in Ukraine's separatist territories and Moscow's access to European financial markets. Israeli forces attack a young Palestinian boy suffering from Down syndrome in the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood of the occupied Al-Quds. I'm Behruz Najafi. It's good to have you with us. Now let's begin with tensions over Ukraine. Russian President Vladimir Putin has ratified friendship treaties with the two self-proclaimed People's Republics of Donetsk and Luhansk in eastern Ukraine. Now that after Parliament approved the recognition of the two breakaway regions earlier on Tuesday, the upper house of Parliament has also approved a request by Putin to deploy armed forces abroad. Moscow says the move will pave the way for sending what it has called peacekeeping missions to the breakaway regions. On Monday, Putin recognized the independence of Donetsk and Luhansk, accusing the Western-backed government in Kiev of committing genocide there. The Russian Foreign Ministry has also urged other countries to follow suit, saying that a move was the only possible step. Russia's recognition of the two breakaway regions in Ukraine has led to widespread reactions and ramifications. Ukraine is now reconsidering cutting off diplomatic ties with Russia. It's recalled its senior diplomat from Moscow for consultation.
I have received a request from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to examine the question of breaking off relations between Ukraine and the Russian Federation. I will examine and work on this issue right after the press conference.
The Ukrainian president also accused Russia of preparing for a military aggression, but played down the prospect of a large-scale conflict. Zelensky has called on his Western allies to quickly impose sanctions on Russia. In particular, urged an immediate halt to the approval process of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline designed to carry Russian natural gas to Germany. In response to the Russian move, German Chancellor Olaf Scholz already took steps by halting the certification of the multi-billion-dollar pipeline project.
I have asked the German Economy Ministry today to withdraw the report on the analysis of energy supply guarantees from German regulator Bundesnetzagentur. It sounds technical, but it's a required procedure so that there can be no certification of the pipeline now. Without this certification, Nord Stream 2 cannot become operational.
And our allies. Well, the UK also saying it will impose sanctions on five Russian banks and three high net worth individuals. The UK, alongside Austria, has summoned Russian ambassadors too. The European Union is also reportedly close to agreeing on sanctions. The measures include putting politicians and officials on blacklists, banning trading in Russian state bonds, and targeting imports and exports with separatist entities. Iran, meantime, has called for restraint on all sides, saying that any measure that leads to the escalation should be avoided. Tehran says U.S.-led NATO's provocative and meddlesome moves have complicated the situation in the region. Now, we talked to political commentator Christoph Herstal for his take on that situation, and he believes that Washington is pulling the strings around the administration of Ukrainian President Zelensky.
Well, I do think that what the esteemed Ukrainian President Zelensky has said is directed at his own people. But unfortunately, his country has lost sovereignty to Washington. He's not in full control. The CIA is controlling his country, and they're pushing Ukraine against Russia. It was a very sad story that last Friday, the Yamal oil pipeline delivering oil to Germany, France, and others was hit by the Ukrainian army. They're using against the Minsk peace contract, they're using Turkish Bayraq drones to kill people in Donetsk. These are the stories we are facing since a long time. There's an escalation on the border. Half of the Ukrainian army of 125,000 men is now concentrated on the demarcation line to Donbas. So this is the situation we face, and unfortunately NATO has become a gang of scoundrels, and the NATO governments rule against their own people.
Now, escalating tensions between the West and Russia over Ukraine tumbled global stocks and sent crude prices to their highest in 7 years. The pan-European stock 600 plunged to a seven-month low to nearly 2%. German shares in particular shed more than 2% over uncertainties due to the country's heavy reliance on Russian gas. International benchmark Brent crude futures soared to nearly $100 a barrel, the highest since 2014 amid concerns over a possible disruption in energy exports. U.S. stock index futures also nosedived after Russia's recognition of two breakaway regions in eastern Ukraine. The MSCI World Index traded at its lowest since late January. Investors sell off stocks and riskier assets amid fears of the prospect of a major war in Europe. Time now for the news review section. Israeli forces have attacked a young Palestinian boy suffering from Down syndrome in the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood of the occupied Al-Quds. The boy, identified as Muhammad Al-Ajluni, was brutally attacked along with other residents. They had gathered in solidarity with families threatened with expulsion from their homes. According to eyewitnesses, the crackdown left a number of people wounded. Palestinians have long been voicing anger at Israel's forced expulsion from their ancestral homes and the regime's demolition drive in the occupied West Bank and Al-Quds. Israeli forces have intensified crackdown on Palestinians protesting the regime's atrocities in Sheikh Jarrah and other neighborhoods. Now, to discuss this a bit more, I'm joined by Mona Kandilar, correspondent in Ramallah. Good to see you. Mona, tell us more about this story and the overall situation in the occupied territories. As you've been reporting, and we've also been covering this, Palestinians are angry, and it seems that they are in the right. They should be angry, naturally, with what's going on there on the ground.
Well, this time the situation is a little bit different and something completely different. When we are speaking a Palestinian youth with Down syndrome, we have to say that the face of a person with a Down syndrome is apparent, even to the Israeli soldiers, even to anyone. What happened, according to the Israeli military, the Israeli soldiers, that this young Palestinian man, Muhammad Al-Ajluni, was chanting Allahu Akbar, Allah is great, during a demonstration that was held against the forced eviction of Palestinian families from Sheikh Jarrah. The Israeli soldiers were angry, and they were, let's say, touched by the chanting Allahu Akbar. They followed him, they dragged him, as the video was clear. People were trying to comfort him, to take him from the hands of the Israeli soldiers. It was very clear that Muhammad Al-Ajluni was terrified, was being attacked and harassed. The Israeli soldiers had crossed all red lines, according to the experts and to observers. Those Israeli soldiers who carried out this attack should be immediately dragged to a trial, according to many here, of course, are demanding. We have to mention that a Palestinian man with Down syndrome or with disability was killed by the Israeli soldiers in Al-Quds several years ago. The Israeli soldiers at that time said the soldiers ordered him to go back, and he didn't obey their orders. At the end of the day, he was shot dead. But apparently, he didn't understand what they were saying.
Okay. Now, if you allow me, let's review some comments that people have posted on social media. So let's check out social media. Okay, we have Tenisina Marwa saying, speechless. Israeli forces attacked and arrested Muhammad Al-Ajluni, a young Palestinian with Down syndrome from the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood. They're brutally targeting Palestinian civilians, regardless of their age, gender, or ability. Then we have the Palestine saying that you're a Palestinian, then you're in danger of being oppressed with countless crimes, no matter if they're children, women, elders, or even people with special needs. Israeli occupation forces keep committing brutal crimes against Palestinians. Mohammed Salami says that the entire world must see how the terrorist occupation troops of hashtag Israel are attacking a Palestinian young man with Down syndrome. Zionists are the Nazis of the time. And also we have Cato saying that sadly the world continues to turn a blind eye to the ongoing brutality of Israel's illegal occupation and apartheid regime. Thanks for that, Mona Kandil, our correspondent in Ramallah. Welcome back. Let's move on with the rest of this broadcast. Iran, the P4 plus one group of countries, are continuing talks to restore the 2015 deal known as the JCPOA. This is the eighth round of negotiations in the Austrian capital. The JCPOA was left in tatters following the unilateral U.S. withdrawal in 2018. Now, for the latest, we're joined by our correspondent, Homa Liski. She's there at the venue of the talks in Vienna. Good to have you with us, Homa. What do you have for us?
Yes, I think it's fair to say that we are really reaching the finishing line now, because what we're hearing from various officials is the same thing. The EU coordinator Enrico Mora tweeting today after some time saying that we're at a crucial moment and we are nearing the end of the negotiations following 10 months of talks. He has reiterated, however, that the result is still, in his words, uncertain, and that key issues need to be fixed. However, he said that all participants are fully engaged and there's intense work underway in Coburg. Earlier, the British representative in the talks also tweeted saying that now we are in the end game and it's time for us to conclude. And the Russian ambassador, Mikhail Olyanov, also mentioning that we're at the final stage of the talks. And after his meeting with Mr. Mora, the Russian ambassador said that apparently talks are about to cross the finish line. Some reports have been suggesting that the sides are now discussing some minor technical issues and that there will be a decision announced by the end of this week, although this is not official. And Iranian sources have always, time and again, been saying that nothing is agreed upon, of course, until everything is agreed on. Mm-hmm. And it's also worth mentioning that the Secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council, Mr. Shamkhani, just tweeted as well. And in his tweet, which is quite telling, he said that Iran's peaceful nuclear capabilities will always hang over the head of the violators, in his words, of the JCPOA, like the sword of Damocles. And this, he said, is the real guarantee for implementation. He goes on to mention that after the U.S. withdrew from the JCPOA in 2018, it would have been better if this inherent guarantee had been made use of more effectively. So we can safely assume that this issue of guarantees or inherent guarantees is something that will probably be included as Iran has asked for in the text of the new JCPOA. We are also hearing some other reports at the same time about prisoner exchanges between Iran and the US, but Iranian sources and officials made it clear that the issue of prisoners is a separate issue and is not in any way part of the JCPOA talk, as has also been confirmed by the Russian ambassador earlier. So it looks like things are indeed moving ahead, and we are going to soon see if, of course, the remaining issues are also fixed, as Mr. Mora said, an announcement soon.
Okay, Homa, we know that there are a few issues, but there are sticking points, as both sides are stressing. But could we be hopeful that this will be done, because we only have 1 week to the end of February?
That's right. So the assumption is that if they reach that decision, they want to make that announcement. Some had been assuming that maybe the foreign ministers would travel to Vienna. Apparently, that's not going to happen. The plan is that the deputy foreign ministers here, the heads of delegations, if they reach that stage, they will announce it. What we're hearing is that probably if there is going to be an agreement, it will be yes by the end of this week or by the end of February, as you say there. The sticking points, of course, being the issue of sanctions. Verification guarantees the scope of sanctions, but if they can fix these issues, this would happen by the end of this week or by the end of the month.
Hopefully. Thanks for that. Komalevsky in Vienna. Now, the sixth summit of the Gas Exporting Countries Forum has been held in the Qatari capital, Doha. Addressing the meeting, Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi slammed U.S. sanctions on the oil and gas industry of a number of member states.
The sanctions imposed by the U.S. against the oil and gas industry and also members of the gas producing countries, using this tool of sanctions for imposing one's wishes, for imposing one's domineering wishes, will fail in the face of independent countries.
Raisi called for further cooperation among member states to circumvent those measures. He said that collaboration among those states could improve their economic conditions. The Iranian president noted that his country has a collective strategy for good cooperation. He added that Tehran is trying to increase its export power. Raisi described natural gas as a clean source of energy, and utilizing such energy could have major advantages. That's a wrap for this news bulletin. Goodbye.
Diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
ایمان را در خودتون تقویت بکنید، ایمانی که هم در اینجا شما را شرافتمند می کند و هم در پیشگاه حق آبرو دارید و با آبرومندی وارد می شید به تخت اعلی.
In the path of the Imam.
In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. Dear listeners, today we are going to touch upon the last parts of Imam Khomeini's testament where he addresses the Iranian nation. The Imam reminds the Iranian nation about the cost they have paid and the hardships they have endured to overcome the enemies and to achieve victory. Stay tuned, please.
Thank you.
Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him, addressing the Iranian nation, writes in his testament that the pains and sacrifices are the cost for reaching lofty goals. He writes, "Once more, in the end of this testament, I make bequest to the Iranian nation that, in this world, the magnitude of tolerating troubles, pains, sacrifices, and deprivations are compatible with the magnitude of the goal and its value and lofty degree. What you, the noble and Mujahid nation, have risen for, have been pursuing and sacrificing your life and property, is the loftiest, highest, and most precious goal and purpose which has been and will be presented since the advent of the world till the end. And that is the school of divinity, in the broad sense of it, and the concept of monotheism with its exalted dimensions. The school of divinity and monotheism mentioned by Imam Khomeini has its roots in the belief that Allah is the only being who deserves to be worshipped." Imam Khomeini continues in his testament, "The school of divinity in its broad sense and the concept of monotheism with its exalted dimensions is the basis of creation and its ultimate point in the vast arena of being and the degrees and ranks of the unseen and the seen. And it has been manifested in the Muhammadan school in its full sense, degrees and dimensions, and all efforts of great prophets, greetings of God upon them, and the great friends of God, greetings of God upon them, have been made for that, and without that it will not be possible to reach the absolute perfection and the infinite majesty and beauty. It is that which has made the inhabitants of the earth superior to the denizens of the ethereal heavens. And what the inhabitants of earth achieve in this journey will not be achieved by any creature in the whole creation, publicly or secretly." Imam Khomeini says that the Iranian nation is marching in the way of the divine prophets. He writes, "You, the Mujahid nation, are marching under the flag which is hoisted throughout the material and spiritual world. Know it or not, you are covering the way which is the only way of all great prophets, greetings of God upon them, and the sole way of absolute salvation. It is through this motive that all friends of God hog martyrdom and consider the red death sweeter than honey. And your youth in the battlefronts have drunk a sip of it and have become rejoiced. And it has been manifested in their mothers, sisters, fathers, and brothers. And we should truly say, we wish we were with you to achieve a great victory. May that soothing breeze and that zealous manifestation be sweet for them." Imam Khomeini explains that the spirit of devotion and cooperation ruling in the society is one of the manifestations of this sweet sense. He writes, "We should know that this manifestation can be clearly seen in hot farms, in breathtaking factories, in workshops, in centers of industry, invention and innovation, and among the majority of the nation in markets, streets, villages, and on all those who have overtaken these affairs to serve Islam, the Islamic Republic and progress and self-sufficiency of the country. And as long as this spirit of cooperation and devotion is there in the society, the dear country is, God willing, immune against every harm. And thank God, the seminaries and universities and dear youths of the centers of knowledge and education enjoy this divine unseen blessing." Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him, continues in his testament, "My bequest to all is to advance, with Almighty God's remembrance, toward self-recognition, self-sufficiency, and independence with all their dimensions. And undoubtedly God's hand is with you. If you be at his service and continue the spirit of cooperation for the progress and sublimity of the Islamic country, with the wakefulness, vigilance, devotion, self-sacrifice, and the spirit of resistance and resolve that I see in the dear nation in the way of truth, I hope that, through Almighty God's favor, these humane concepts will be transmitted to the posterior of the nation and every generation will enhance it." Imam Khomeini ends his testament with these words, "With a calm and confident heart, happy spirit, and an inward hopeful of God's favor, I take leave from the sisters and brothers and travel to the eternal abode while I am in urgent need of your good prayers. And I plead with God, the compassionate and the merciful, to accept my apology for coming short of service. And I hope that the nation will accept my apology for shortcomings and faults. They should go forward with power and resolve, knowing that with the departure of a servant, there will be no crack in the iron dam of the nation, as there are more superior servants at the service. And Allah is the guardian of this nation and the oppressed of the world."
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Now I invite you to listen to the speech of Sheikh Ja'far Ja'far.
Assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. I start by hoping and praying that each and every one of you are well, that you are healthy, and that you are doing what is necessary at this time to be precautious and be filled with patience. The wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala necessitates that He has a purpose and a plan behind everything. If we consider and accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the best of planners, it should produce within us certain responses. Okay, and we'll talk about them. We'll talk about three responses that this faith or this belief should produce within each and every one of us. The first is that it should force us to try and reflect and understand what is the plan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really has, right? Now, of course, we'll never be able to understand the wisdom of God, but in everything that takes place, we accept that God has a plan behind it. Nothing is done batilan. Nothing is done without a purpose, or nothing is done aimlessly, right? And so there is a purpose behind it. We have to try to understand, what does God want from me? We look at COVID, for example, right? Yes, we have accepted it patiently, and we have taken the necessary precautions to make sure that we keep ourselves safe, that we keep other people safe. But is that the main plan that God had? just so that we can practice hygiene? Maybe, Allahu A'lam, right? Was it his plan to shut down our mosques so that we can build our own personal spiritualities? Maybe, right? But try to figure out, we're all affected by this differently, right? Some people are alone at home. What does God want from you at this time? Some people are with their families. What does God want from you at this time? Some people are working from home. What does God want from you at this time? Maybe you're working from home, you have more time for ibadah. Those who have to go out, what does God want from you at this time? There is a purpose, right? And it's up to us to try to find what the individual purpose that God wants me to reach and reflect about it, right? When there is an illness, what is the purpose behind this, right? Was my life too fast and God was saying, slow down? Was there something that I have to pay back that God is reminding me that, hey, you got to pay it back before it's too late? There is a something that we can identify within ourselves behind everything that happens. And we have to be the type of people who reflect about these things, because we have accepted the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of planners. Someone passes away, right? What is God trying to teach me at this moment? We don't have to justify the act. What is the lesson that we have to take from it, right? And in some of these instances, it may be difficult to understand, right? It's not easy to try to figure out the grand plan of God, even from our limited perspective, when things are so heavy, like someone passing away. But at this time, whether I can figure out the plan that God wants me to understand or not, I have to accept the fact that Allah is khayrul makirin, that Allah is the best of planners. Yeah. So number one, we need to reflect. This faith and conviction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of planners should then bring about submission and satisfaction in the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Sometimes when things don't go our way, we tend to react aggressively. We tend to react emotionally, trying to regain the comfort that we had when things were going smoothly. But if we accept that there is a plan that God has behind everything, it could be something that I find detestable. It could be something that I find difficult. But if I can basically like put myself in my shoes, if you understand what I'm trying to say, is we have to then understand that, okay, what is the purpose behind what this is? Because God would never do something without a purpose. And in most cases, I don't think in all cases, in most cases, if we allow ourselves to be empty of emotion and anger and frustration, we would soon find out the purpose of God and accept it. You know, God has plans, and therefore He expects us to have plans as well. And so He wants us to utilize this skill of being a person who plans in this world, right? It's good to have plans. It's good to have direction. But of course, we're not talking about being rigid then, or being unable to not accept different plans, or being unreasonable. This is not what we're talking about. We're talking about having plans. Be a person who has a plan, right? Wake up in the morning with a plan. Go to bed at night having a plan, right? Have plans, and these plans will help us not only be a better person ourselves, but when we are people who have organization, we help bring organization to everything around us as well, right? But the primary, and on top of that, the primary planning that you and I have to do is we have to plan for our akhirah, right? This is the main reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the ability to plan. Like, we are decent planners when it comes to dunya, like RRSPs and RESPs and savings and retirement and God knows what else, vacations. We're mashallah when it comes to all of these things, right? But how much are we preparing and planning for our akhirah, right? The success, mark these words very clearly. The success in the hereafter is going to be for those who planned for it. Success in the hereafter is for those who planned for it. There's a very beautiful set of verses in Surah Al-Haqqah. If you read verses 19 through 27 of Surah Al-Haqqah, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala describes two groups of people. One who are given their kitab, their book in their right hand, and then there are those, of course, denoting success. And then there are those people who he says that they'll get their book on the other hand, which means that they were not successful. But then what does he say, and how he says it is very beautiful. He says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ. He says, as for those who are given their book on their right hand, فَيَقُولُ, they will say, the people will say, هَا أُمُقْرَأُ كِتَابِيَ. He says, here, take my book. They will excitedly, tell, here, take my book. Inni dhanantu anni mulaqin hisabiyya. He says, I knew that I would meet this day of accounting. Yani what? They planned for this day. They were ready. Allah told us, plan for this day. They planned for this day. When it came time to give their book, they said to Allah, take my book. Man, if I have not planned, I'm not going to be like, here, take my book. No, I'll be the other poor people, right? Who said what? وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابُهُ بِشِمَالِهِ. People who are given their book on the other hand. فَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابِيَ. That, oh, I wish I wasn't given this book. وَلَمْ أَدْرِ مَا حِسَابِيَ. And I wish I had not known what is my account. I don't want to know. Why? Because they did not plan for it, my brothers and sisters.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمن
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
in the limelight.
The issue of nuclear breakout, that is the time needed for enrichment to produce an atomic bomb, has always been raised by the West and its Zionist and Arab allies. The anti-Iranian axis uses the issue as a leverage to put pressure on Tehran and build a consensus against the Islamic Republic. We're prepared for you an article written by Hassan Shukuhi Nasab, an international relations expert, under the heading U.S. Legerdemain in Vienna. The eighth round of talks in Vienna aimed at removing sanctions on Iran can be considered the longest, the most complex, and at the same time the most sensitive political negotiations. In the meantime, positive signals have been transmitted from the Austrian capital, showing steps forward, which may be slow, but advancing contrary to those in recent years. One of these signals is the recent US move to restore sanctions waivers on some of Iran's civilian nuclear activities. On 21st of January, the US State Department informed Congress that it had suspended some sanctions against Iran's civilian nuclear activities in order to allow the two sides to return to their commitments under the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, JCPOA. Although some describe the US measure as a mere show in line with the interests of the sanctioning country rather than those of Iran, it is only part of the jigsaw puzzle in the provisions over which there is already an agreement as reported by the media. Observers believe the United States is pursuing both overt and covert objectives from this issue, ranging from reassuring its regional allies about the peaceful nature of Iran's nuclear activities after an agreement and easing worries about Iran's nuclear breakout time, to addressing domestic rifts in Congress, as well as tensions between the White House and the Republicans. The issue of nuclear breakout, that is the time needed for enrichment to produce an atomic bomb, has always been raised by the West and its Zionist and Arab allies. The anti-Iranian axis uses the issue as a leverage to put pressure on Tehran and build a consensus against the Islamic Republic. They are pursuing their Iranophobia project by showing that Iran's nuclear breakout time is near. This is why the country is not seeking to develop and use atomic bombs based on a fatwa or religious edict by the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Mohammad Islami, head of the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran, has also said that the country does not go beyond 60% uranium enrichment. Moreover, from the observer's point of view, the benefits that Iran derives from reaching the threshold far outweigh those of its nuclearization. However, regardless of Iran's official position, the Western media, from the Wall Street Journal to the website Axios, are trying to portray Iran's nuclear breakout time as very near. The Wall Street Journal claims that this time is now less than a year and possibly reduced to 6 months, and the website Axios alleges that the time required for Tehran to produce an atomic bomb is a maximum of 4 to 6 months. Since the start of the eighth round of the Vienna talks until today, the element of time has been used as a tool to exert pressure on Iran and reduce Tehran's maximum demands. A look at the repeated positions of White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki and the U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, and the unanimity of diplomats from the European trio regarding insufficient time, revealed a portrayal of a state of emergency, a situation in which Iran is far from rational and deliberate decisions and trapped in excitement. However, as the eighth round of the Vienna talks lengthens, it can be understood that the Iranian team has prioritized achieving the desired result over reaching a swift, unfavorable agreement. Now, at the last minute of the Vienna talks, when some news indicates the drafting of an agreement, U.S. senators disguised as opponents came to the help of the White House in order to lower Tehran's expectations. The summoning of U.S. Special Envoy for Iran, Robert Malley, to a secret meeting with members of Congress, as well as the letter of 33 Republican senators addressed to President Joe Biden, can be assessed within this context. Even if we assume that the dispute between Congress and the White House is not fabricated, the outcome of the tension is a temporary agreement. The deal, which Iran has opposed so far, but according to Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, there is still a long way to go before the 2015 Iran nuclear deal can be revived. It should be noted that in the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, JCPOA, and subsequent United Nations Security Council Resolution 2231, temporary restrictions were considered for Tehran. In addition to the 15-year limit on Iran's nuclear activities, the resolution included a 5- and 8-year ban on Iran's arms and missile activities, which are called sunset clauses. The arms embargo expired last year, and we will see the lifting of the restrictions on Iran's missile program in the near future. This is one of the concerns of the West and its regional allies. So far, they have made endeavors to make the embargoes permanent, but these efforts have so far got nowhere. The empty place of the Iranian parliament, the Majlis, which previously helped reduce the West's acts of sabotage by approving the plan of proportionate reciprocal action of the Iranian government in the implementation of the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, JCPOA, is very much felt. But Tehran has used other means of leverage at the current critical juncture. The firm positions of Iran's Supreme National Security Council, as well as the increasing defense military capability, such as the unveiling of the strategic missile dubbed Khaybar Shekan, can be analyzed in this regard. Therefore, it is expected, by looking through realistic lenses and understanding the current situation, the West will stop making fictitious deadlines and playing the nuclear breakout and other worn-out fruitless games. It is also expected that the Islamic Republic, as an influential player within the region and beyond, will agree to a win-win deal with reciprocal and balanced obligations and rights. Recently, Iranian President Sayed Ebrahim Raisi said any possible agreement between Iran and the 4+1 group of countries in the Austrian capital Vienna must include the removal of all sanctions, the provision of valid guarantees, and cessation of political issues and claims. The Iranian president made the remark in a phone conversation with his French counterpart Emmanuel Macron on Saturday, as the two sides discussed the latest status of the ongoing talks in Vienna between Tehran and the five remaining signatories to the 2015 Iran nuclear deal, officially known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, JCPOA. The aim of these talks is to revive the JCPOA. Iranian President Sayed Ebrahim Raisi said, "The Iranian negotiating team has repeatedly announced that it welcomes the initiatives that would guarantee the provision and protection of the nation's rights." He added that certain political pressures or claims have been made with the aim of maintaining the leverage of pressure on the Iranian nation, which undermined the prospect of reaching an agreement in Vienna. He noted that the Iranian delegation is advancing the talks in the Austrian capital with seriousness, saying, "In the course of the Vienna negotiations, the Islamic Republic of Iran has offered constructive proposals and has examined the proposals made by the other side based on their conformity with the interests of the Iranian people. Elsewhere in his remarks, the Iranian president, Sayed Ebrahim Raisi, said Iran's history of interaction with the International Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA, and the agency's numerous reports all confirming and verifying the peaceful nature of Iran's nuclear activities proved the false claims levelled by some countries against Tehran. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat, or BAD 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is the part of the speech delivered on June 3, 2016 by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, on the occasion of 27th anniversary of Imam Khomeini's passing. The speech was delivered at Imam Khomeini's shrine in Tehran, Iran.
There are specific criteria for being a revolutionary. I'd like to mention five criteria during this meeting. The first criterion is a commitment to the main principles and values of the revolution. The second criterion is aiming at the ideals of the revolution and making great efforts to attain them. We should identify the ideals and lofty goals of the revolution, and then we should make efforts to attain them. The third criterion is the commitment to the independence of the country in all areas, including political, economic, cultural, which is the most important one, and independence of security. The fourth criterion regards showing sensitivity in the face of the enemy and the enemy's plots and plans, refusing to follow him.
دنیای اسلام یک
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
The enemy should be identified. His plans should be understood, and following him should be avoided. As I said recently, the Holy Quran has referred to this refusal to follow the enemy as a great jihad. I have spoken 2-3 times about this matter. The fifth criterion is religious and political piety, which is very important. If these 5 criteria exist within someone, then they are definitely a revolutionary. Of course, as I said before, there are different degrees of revolutionary behavior. I will provide a short explanation for each of these 5 criteria. As I said, the first criterion is a commitment to the basic and fundamental values of Islam. Last year, in the same meeting, I spoke about Imam's principles. These are our fundamental principles. The first principle is the commitment to original Islam, which is opposed to American Islam. Original Islam is against American Islam. American Islam has 2 branches. One is reactionary Islam and another is secular Islam. Arrogance and materialistic powers have supported and continue to support both of these branches. Sometimes they create them, sometimes they guide them, and sometimes they help them.
Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.